Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Special technique of shadow boxing.
Yo, what's up? What's going on? What's good? This is the February 7th, 2021 episode of the Boxing Source Radio Show. I am your host, James Bell, the leader of the Boxing Source. You can catch boxing articles and more through theboxingsource.net. We are also on social media through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and you can also catch discussions through YouTube as well. So you can follow the YouTube channel and get the latest through there. Number to dial in is 347-237-5539. That's 347-237-5539 if you want to get in on the boxing talk. You really didn't have that much action over the previous weekend, outside of the action through one of the boxing sources alumni, as you did have No Doubt Trout in action yesterday. Austin Trout, former world champion in the super welterweight division, he was over in Mexico as he took on Juan Armando Garcia and was able to get a decision through 10 rounds. So he had, outpointed Juan Armando Garcia, who came in there with a record of 21 wins, 7 losses, and 2 draws. And you had Austin Trout there with the record of 32 wins, 5 losses, and 1 draw. And he was able to, outbox and outpoint Juan Garcia. You know what I mean? And we got that basically 3 scores of 99-91 on the cards. And he was, pretty much around there in the, it was a little bit above 147 pounds. He, like I said, he has been a former world champion at the 154-pound limit. In his conversations with us over the past year and a half or so, and he did say that he wanted to, get down to 147 pounds. And so, over the past couple of fights, he's been working his way down to 147, but, got a little bit short of that in his previous bout against Rosbel Montoya. He was like around 149 pounds. And then here with his fight against Juan Armando Garcia, he was a little bit north of 147, but still was able to carry business out there in Chihuahua, Mexico. And, he'll be right back at it. So I'm going to see, how he's going to, move forward in the rest of his pro career. So you did have that with, Austin Trout. Know that there was more action. I think they had something. Yeah, they did have something over on Fight TV last night as well. That included, Rasheem Jefferson there from Philadelphia. He was able to score a unanimous decision win in his bout as part of that card. But you also did have in the main event, you know, two undefeated fighters there, and one from New Haven in William Foster the third, and Donald Smith there. That was, you know, pretty much around that 130-pound division. And Donald Smith was fell short in his bout against William Foster the third there, as it was a unanimous decision win for William Foster there. So that was one thing for him. And yeah, I think this was like one guy in Donald Smith that, you know, had like a little bit of talk. He was talking a little bit about, you know, trying to campaign in the featherweight division. He, you know, like I said, he was there making it a little bit above the 126-pound division. He had built a record of, you know, 10-0 with 6 KOs before this particular bout. But they ended up falling short here against William Foster III. So that was mainly what happened out there. Like I said, you had action in Mexico with Austin Trout. And there was, like, you know, the card over in Philadelphia, the 2300 Arena there. So you had, like I said, Rasheem Jefferson in action, Donald Smith in action, Sharif Rahman, you know, from the Rahman family in there as well. And you had someone in the heavyweight division making their debut, and Derek Starling going up against Jose Nunez, where it was a difference of 55 pounds between Derek Starling and Jose Nunez, man. So that's you know, that's crazy there, 50-pound difference. You know, that's nuts. So that's pretty much all of, you know, what went down yesterday. So not much action. Like I said, it's been a little while since, you know, we've had, you know, some key bouts on TV and stuff like that. But next week, we got, like, a lot of action going down. You have, you know, fight card over in Las Vegas with Joe Smith Jr. going up against Maxim Vlasov for the vacant WBO light heavyweight title. You also have JoJo Diaz going up against Shavkat Rakhimov. I'm not saying his full name. I'm not going to do that right here. But, yeah, JoJo Diaz is, you know, going up against Rakhimov for the IBF super featherweight title. So, you know, that's, you know, one thing that we got, you know, having in this, in that particular fight card. That is going to be in Indio, California. This also has the super welterweight bout between Teixeira and Brian Carlos Castaño for that WBO super welterweight title, which is going to be pretty big there. Castaño, you know, had his close bout against Arislandi Lara that ended up being a split draw in 2019, but also defeated Wale Omotoso in that same year to put him in position for this particular title shot. But he hasn't been active since that fight in November 2019, going up against Patrick Teixeira, the super welterweight champion. Pretty much has had the same amount of inactivity as his last bout was in late November 2019. But that was, you know, where he's coming in at. But that's going to be a, that should be a close little scrap between those two. You had Patrick Teixeira having his win over Carlos Adames last year. And like I said, with Castaño's win over Wale Omotoso in the MGM National Harbor, that like set him up to get this world title shot. But with JoJo Diaz, like I said, JoJo Diaz, there's an IBF champion, defeated Tevin Farmer to get that IBF title. You know, I guess some folks kind of thought that Tevin Farmer would have been able to get a rematch, but that was not the case. And so that's why you have Diaz going up against Shavkat Rakhimov, who is the top contender there in the IBF rankings. So, you know, Jojo Diaz was a former world title contender in the featherweight division, fell short against Gary Russell Jr. Then, you know, eventually moved up because he had like one other fight that was supposed to be at featherweight. He didn't quite make weight, so he ended up moving up to the 130-pound limit and eventually got that world title shot against, you know, against Tevin Farmer, I think. And that was over in the Miami area where he was able to get that unanimous decision win. And so this is his first defense of that IBF title. So that is going to be a, you know, little scrap there to see where Joseph Diaz is. But I'm going to, you know, keep my eye out on that to share versus Castaño. That should be a good little scrap. But I'm leaning towards Castaño, actually, given that, you know, he's had those bouts against Arislan de Lara, Wally Omotoso, among others. And that, I think that should be, you know, enough for him to, you know, go ahead and pull out that victory. But like I said, in the other card that's going to be in Las Vegas there at MGM Grand, you're going to have Joe Smith Jr. Going up against Maxim Vlasov for the vacant WBO light heavyweight title. That title was vacated by Canelo Alvarez after Canelo Alvarez did beat, you know, he beat Kovalev for that belt, you know, and, you know, after, you know, beating Kovalev for that belt, it didn't take him that long for him to, you know, vacate that title there. And like I said, go back down to super middleweight now that you see that he has WBC and WBA super middleweight championship. So you also will have Richard Comey, former IBF lightweight champion, Richard Comey going up against Jackson Marinez in this fight card that should be the co-feature bout. Jackson Marinez, of course, had that close decision loss to Rolly Romero, where, you know, a good number of people thought that Marinez got the better of Romero in that particular bout. But Marinez ended up falling short, and they gave him his first loss of his professional career. But now he's going up against a former world champion there in Richard Comey. And, you know, with that, it's I feel like that's going to be a good little scrap, too, that it's going to, you know, see where both of those, you know, both of those fighters will be at in the particular lightweight division, you know. And the thing about it is that we got to see, like, where these guys are in this particular point of, you know, their careers. You know, like I said, with first thing with that former champ, Richard Comey, like I said, he had that loss against Teofimo Lopez over in the Madison Square Garden. And like I said, with Jack Marinez there going up against Rolly Romero. So, you know, Rolly Romero is the interim WBA champion over at lightweight. So you have that. You're going to have Jared Anderson against Kingsley Abe in the heavyweight division. Jared Anderson from the Ohio area. We've had his trainer, Coach Derry Riley, on this show a couple of times. We should be, you know, hearing from Jared Anderson, I think, tomorrow. Or they should have, like, a conference call for this particular fight card. So you're going to have Jared Anderson, who's, you know, training over in Houston now. I think he's moved over to Houston from what his trainer, his main trainer, was talking about. So he's, you know, training over in Houston at this particular point, going up against Kingsley Abe, who has a record of 5 wins, 1 loss, and 1 draw, you know. So so you got that. And then you'll have also as part of the card, Adam Lopez against Jason Sanchez will be in this. But, you know, going back to the main event, Joe Smith Jr. going up against Maxim Vlasov. You know, Joe Smith Jr. had like fell short once before in going after a world title at light heavyweight, going up against Dmitry Vival. And that was like back in 2019, but he's followed up with wins over Jesse Hart and a knockout win over former world champion Eleider Alvarez to get himself in position to fight for this world title against Maxim Vlasov. Vlasov, a very experienced fighter there, 45 wins, 3 losses there with 26 wins by knockout. Has wins over Isaac Chalemba and Manuel Marte, but he had been over in cruiserweight for the majority of his career and had a loss against Krzysztof Gawacki at cruiserweight before, you know, going down to light heavyweight, having a string of 3 wins there to put himself in this position to, you know, fight for the vacant world title there for the WBO. So you do have that. And I think that's going to, you know, that's pretty much most of the action that's going down here in the U.S., but you also have overseas. You got, I'm going to say it, the former IBF, featherweight champion Josh Warrington going up against Mauricio Lara over in Wembley. And the thing about it is that, you know, he had that IBF title. He could have, you know, basically could have unified. Didn't want to unify, or basically couldn't unify. Had the thing where he could have fought Kanzu, who was the WBA champion. But the thing about the WBA champion is he's not the WBA super champion. They still have it as Leo Santa Cruz as the WBA super champion there at featherweight, even though Leo Santa Cruz, you know, had the fight over at super featherweight against Gervonta Davis. And so, you know, with that being said, you know, now he's, you know, supposed to have that mandatory defense, which would have been, you know, against a guy that he's faced already, Kid Galahad. And, you know, he didn't have that, and he didn't go forward with it, so the IBF stripped him. And now you're going to have Josh Warrington there against Mauricio Lara in the 10-round bout over in Wembley Arena. And that's, I mean, that's going to be on him. Because like I said, I've said this a while ago, like, he's had the title, IBF title, for a while now, and he never, you know, went ahead or went forward with the unification against Gary Russell. And then you're going to say that you send an offer to Gary Russell and it's only $1 million when he gets 1.5 or 1.6 in your regular title defenses. So how are you going to go out there and try to, you know, offer $1 million? You know, y'all could have done better than that. So that's pretty much the gist of it. And him being stripped, we'll see what happens for Josh Warrington if he's going to try to go after another world title at featherweight. But he won't be, you know, trying to see if he could get in there against, you know, Gary Jr. And, you know, he can't have that fight against Kanzu. So maybe he could, you know, try to fight the WBO champion who moved up from super bantamweight. There, you know, Emmanuel Navarrete. So he says like he still wants to go after world titles in the featherweight division, but like I said, I think the only option that he has is against Emmanuel Navarrete. So that's kind of you know, what we got here. So that's what that's the thing on that one. But you know, outside of that, I really who else did they have, you know, going on this particular fight card is, let's see, you had Warrington versus Lara and, oh man, Zelpha Barrett versus Kiko Martinez. And, you know, a lot of these other fights aren't, you know, necessarily, you know, really, you know, up there as far as like the particular divisions that they're in. So that's basically what you have there in this card over at Wembley. Do have, you know, next, what is it, that following weekend, will be the WBC super featherweight title fight between Miguel Burchelt and Oscar Valdez. So we will be, you know, looking at that here in the near future with that particular fight card. It's going to be a big fight there in the super featherweight division. You'll also have the WBO title on the line on the 27th as Jermell Herring will be going up against Carl Frampton. And you do have Canelo Alvarez against Avni Yildirim on the 27th as well. So that's the thing that we're, you know, going to consider talking about in the following podcast. So, you know, be sure to, you know, look for that and check that out there. And that's kind of you know, most of the stuff that's been going on here in the boxing world outside of the talk that has been going on back and forth, you know, between Deontay Wilder, former champ, and his former trainer, Mark Breland. So, of course, we know about the whole shenanigans back and forth that's been going on with Deontay Wilder ever since his loss to Tyson Fury last February. And one of the things that did happen is for the trainer, former trainer now, and Mark Breland, he's now being released. He was released by Deontay Wilder in the scene. Of course, you know, Breland is the one that ended up throwing the towel to stop the bout last February in that seventh round. And, you know, it's basically been, you know, a whole bunch of stuff going on ever since. We didn't really hear that much from Deontay Wilder since that loss. A lot of stuff kind of like came out during that time period, saying that, oh, well, he had issues with the uniform. I could say, I mean, I really haven't heard it from him. But, you know, you also, you know, were talking about, I guess, that he had, you know, an injury in his arm, to his arm during the fight. And, you know, that's also, you know, been discussed, but the biggest story that, you know, carried over was, you know, with Deontay Wilder talking about his issues that he had, you know, over the course of the fight. And, you know, like you said, a crab in the bucket referee and a disloyal trainer. Once again, he said, a crab in the bucket referee and a disloyal trainer. Let me see if I, I'll see if we could play this here. This may be it right here for him. So let me see.
The Bible tells us that silence is gold. But my ears can still hear and my eyes can still see. The Bible also tells us to be swift to hear and slow to speak. You see, what you don't understand, thief, what you did is what my people deal with all the time. Someone cheating them from providing their greatness into the world. But it's a burden that we cut off only to make us stronger. I saw in the first fight where Ricky Haddon was pulling down your gloves to put your fist in an improper position. Y'all tried the same method the second time, but this time you scratched flesh out of my ears, which caused my ears to bleed. It's impossible for a brand new 10-ounce glove to bend, to keep a smushed in form, or to have loose space. I highly believe you put something hard in your glove, something the size and the shape of an egg white. Here's the reason why the side of my face swelled up in an egg white form. And it left the dent in my face as well. But in the midst of it all, you still couldn't keep this king down. You would have had to kill me. In the end, it took a crab in a bucket referee and a disloyal trainer to throw the towel in just to stop me. Proverbs, the 6th chapter, 30, 31 says, excuses may be found from a thief who steals because he is starving. But if he is caught, he will have to pay back 7 times what he stole, even if he had to sell everything in his house. And payback is coming.
I'm sorry, yo. Hey, yo, every time I listen to that little clip, I kind of laugh a little bit because, like I said, he's talking about a crab and a bucket referee and a disloyal trainer. Now, if you say he's like a disloyal trainer, and this is the thing, a lot of people, talk about with Mark Breland, someone who is experienced as he is, someone that, like I said, is part of one of the, probably the best Olympic team U.S. boxing has ever produced, with, a whole bunch of fighters getting gold medals, a couple of silver medals, I think one bronze medal, and he was able to become a world champion in professional ranks. But, nothing was really much said about J.D.'s, as I say. And this is my thing is, if you as a experienced fighter or pro fighter, if you feel like you've had issues like this whole time with this trainer, like he said in this particular and yesterday, when he was talking about what Mark Breland said the day before, then why, do you keep him? Why did you keep him on the team? You can make changes. If you don't feel like you're developing as a fighter with your trainer or trainers, because you have two, then you drop them both. But he only dropped one, and he dropped Mark Breland. Now, on the side of Mark Breland, though, Mark Breland is a quiet, pretty much a quiet guy. So with him, you weren't really going to hear much out of him. And we really didn't hear that much out of him. It wasn't until, recently that we actually, saw him, on camera, talking with somebody in reference to Deontay Wilder. And for me, that's kind of weird that, he would, kind of say what he says on the outlet that he did. And I'm being straight up with it. Like, of all the people that you go to, you don't go to a particular party that could be affiliated with the directly, and I'm saying like in a way directly affiliated with the opponent that your former fighter went up against. Like, of course, you've had like, who is it, the trainer or their Sugar Hill Stewart on like a certain outlet, but that particular outlet is not like say directly affiliated with Premier Boxing Champions or Hammer Boxing or something like that. You know what I mean? So why would you go to someone that, in a way is affiliated with MTK Global? That's weird. That's questionable. That's something that, you know, I am kind of bothered about in a sense. And so that's why, you know, you had that immediate response by Deontay Wilder pretty much the next day. So kind of, you know, questionable to me. And I don't know, like, where, like, you know, what else will, you know, basically come out of this pretty much on both sides, because, you know, you did have at one point immediately after the fight last February, that once the initial rumors kind of went out that Mark Breland may have been out of the Wilder camp, that it could have been a possibility that, you know, Tyson Fury could, you know, add him onto the team, and kind of like brought that up as a potential question, you know, months ago. I brought it up months ago that they could be the case. You know what I mean? So that was like one thing that was, you know, up in the air, man, is that once you had all of those questions buzzing about with Wilder letting go of Breland initially, before it was even official, then you had those questions of, hey, maybe, you know, Tyson Fury would probably add Mark Breland to the camp. Like, he's had two different trainers, you know, before his fights against Deontay Wilder. You know, he had, you know, the thing there with Ben Davison in the first fight, you know, who I call Chris Jericho. And then he had Sugar Hill Stewart, you know, before this particular fight. You know what I mean? So, so maybe he could have like a third, you know, third trainer, you know, out there, man. You know, once this third fight, if this third fight does happen, you know. So I just feel like, you know, this is kind of a questionable situation, in that I feel like Deontay Wilder needs to be in the ring ASAP. Because if he says, you know, all this stuff about, okay, like he held on to Mark Breland, he, you know, gave him this, he gave him that, he like pulled out the olive branch towards Mark Breland and or that type of thing, then okay, now you just have JDS, or if you're gonna add somebody else, and you add somebody else. But once your fight is kind of like official, once that fight is announced, then you need to see, like, okay, have you, you know, been able to do something here? It's been about going up to a year exactly since you had that fight with Tyson Fury. So how are you going to, you know, show yourself and develop, show that you've developed as a fighter, that you've added elements to your game, to your fight game, and that type of thing? But if you haven't, you know, if you haven't done that, then, hey, I don't know. I don't know what else to tell him, you know. But, you know, at this particular point with, you know, with, you know, Wilder, man, it seems like there's a lot of, you know, there's been a lot of talk coming from both sides. I need to see where, you know, he is at this particular point, you know, in this, in his career, you know? So there's that, you know? So that's pretty much like the gist of that particular, you know, topic. You know, we'll probably hear more about it over the course of the week, you know? And, you know, with that being said, I would like to see if there's going to be a response from Mark Breland, and where that response is going to come from. Is it going to come from, you know, the what is it, Tunde Ajayi and Spencer Fearon, or is it going to come from another outlet or someplace else? You know, that's the thing that I'm trying to find out, is how that is going to, you know, shape up over the next, you know, few days or so. You know what I mean? So that's one thing I'm kind of like looking at when it comes to, you know, that particular instance, man. Also, it would seem like we had, you know, I guess it was during that fight card over at the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia. We got comments from, you know, Jerron Boots Ennis. You know, Ennis had the fight that was supposed to happen. You know, him and Chris Van Heerden. It was supposed to be for the IBF, or not the IBF, but the IBO welterweight title. But a clash of heads in the first round, at the end of the first round, pretty much nixed that bout. Ended up being a no contest. And that is why now they tried to put Boots Ennis in a position for another fight. And it looks like he will be facing Sergey Lipinets, a former champion at 140, that's moved up to, you know, 147. And that's gonna be an interesting bout once that materializes, if it materializes. Because, I mean, you had, like, initial reports out there. You know, Sergey Lipinets was told that he was fighting Jerron Boots Ennis, and this was, like, during him in his gym, and he's like, oh, okay. Yes, I'm fighting Jerron Ennis. Like, it was brand new news to him. Like there was no, no negotiation beforehand or whatnot. But, yo, I just feel like, hey, that should be a, you know, good little battle as long as it goes. But that's going to be something I think that, you know, people kind of feel like Jerron Ennis is going to, you know, show out in that particular bout. You know, was talked about during that card, the 2300 Arena, when they were talking to him, that, you know, a lot of people feel like he's the next guy in the welterweight division, that he could be the next superstar in the welterweight division, that they're, you know, putting him up against guys that have, you know, good experience and things like that. See how it goes against those fighters before, you know, going up against, you know, the likes of maybe a former world champion in Sean Porter or Keith Thurman, or someone like the likes of Jordan Lewis, or the other champions out there in Errol Spence and, you know, Terrence Crawford. But until then, we're going to see, you know, how that's going to pan out for Jerron Boots Ennis out there. But, you know, pretty much that kind of like goes through what we have in the boxing world. Like I said, there really wasn't that much big news going on. And that's the thing about it. And so, you know, this pretty much, you know, that covers most of what we have over the course of the week, man. You know, just wanted to get it in real quick. During this Super Bowl weekend and whatnot, and just wanted to, cover most of all the stuff that's going on. So I'll be, back at it during the week and leading up to those bouts that are going to be happening on February 13th. And like I said, we will have some content reference to the conference call tomorrow for that top rank card headlined by Joe Smith Jr. versus Maxim Vlasov. So we will have that. So just wanted to get it in here within a quick 40 minutes or so. And that's what we got. We will be, like I said, we will be right back at it February 14th to talk about those bouts. But outside of that, really, we'll kind of get back to you as far as like what else is out there in the boxing world over the course of the week. So be sure to follow us through social media and reference that. And like I said, we'll have the new podcast February 14th. Like I say, at the end of each show, Point of Boxing is a hit, not get hit. Not the standing trade. On that note, folks, I'm out. Have a good evening, everybody.